Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
at an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
And good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Chuck and Julie Show. Julie Hayden, Chuck Bonnywell. Chuck is making his way down here to the World Headquarters Studios. He'll be here in a second. So much to talk about today. First, I hope everybody had a great weekend. We were at the Marjorie Taylor Greene event in El Paso County. Boy, a lot to talk about there. It was great. I was impressed. I have to tell you, I wasn't really sure what to expect, and she was terrific. So we've got a ton of people coming on to talk about that. The Colorado GOP today released its 10 commitments to Coloradans. Good and I would say neutral news there. The Obama thing, Fox News editing out Trump, dinger. Oh my God, that's a racial slur. I can't say dinger now. All kinds of stuff to talk about. But one of the things we wanted to start off with is this increasing mask mandate, vaccine mandate madness. We'll play a little bit later. Rand Paul has a soundbite where he's saying, just say no, just say no. But sometimes it's not as easy to do as you would think. So I'd like to bring on now Deanne Young. Deanne was married to Denver police officer Donnie Young, who was murdered in 2005. And we ran into Deanne at a pro-police rally. And she's gotten involved in the Denver Police and the Police Protective Association, the Denver Police Union, and their reaction to the mayor saying all Denver City employees have to get vaccinated. Not going over very well, I can tell you that. Chuck arrives.
I arrive. I'm here.
So Deanne, first let me say thank you for your time today and welcome to the show.
Hi. And I just have to tell you, I'm not that Deanne Young.
Oh, you're not that? Oh, my goodness. Totally wrong. Okay. Forget everything I just said. No, that's okay. Well, rather than me try to explain, why don't you go ahead and introduce people to yourself and what you're, you know, tell them a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm Deanne Young still. And my husband is in the he works for the city of Denver. Hmm. And when this vaccine mandate came out, this is a full stop for us and for the other people. So that's really kind of what we're about, is the no vaccine mandate, no mask mandate. We're done. We've had enough. Let city workers work. And that's it.
Pretty interesting, Paul, and I'm going to give credit to Sean Boyd at Channel 4 for doing a story on this. I don't think anyone else has touched it, but as I understand it, really having no idea what the results were going to be, the Denver Police Protective Association, which is the police union which represents basically all of the Denver police officers, did a survey of its members, and it found that 57% of them, as I understand it, of those who responded, which was the majority, had not been vaccinated, and this was after the mayor said everyone had to get vaccinated. And 72% of them, when asked if getting vaccinated was a condition of employment, if they would comply, 72% said no, right? That they, mm-hmm. they didn't.
Right.
Now that's, and you guys, this is pretty funny what happened today. You guys were supposed to be having a meeting with Public Safety Manager Murphy Robinson today to talk about this and express your concerns. But oh my God, I guess they just couldn't do it, huh?
Right. Well, we're supposed to meet tomorrow. He's supposed to go around to all Denver City employees, reaching out to them on ways that they're supposedly going to work with employees to get through this. But they canceled it because of the Delta variant. And, you know, but the thing is that I'm totally, and everybody else is basically for, if you would like to be vaccinated, that's great. You should. If you don't want to be vaccinated, that's great. That's up to you. And that's as far as the government should encroach on you. That's it.
Well, what does the union contract say about the ability of the mayor or anyone else, manager of safety, forcing them to take vaccinations?
I don't think it's in their contract. I'm not sure about that. I have no idea. And what it is for tomorrow is, the thing is that this is them, the mayor, sticking his toe in the water to see how much we'll take.
Yes.
And this is not just about police. It's about fire. It's about your trash. It's about every city worker. It is not their business. So we want to support them because the city manager, Murphy Robinson, is reaching out to the police officers. And that's where, I don't know if he's going around to the trash men and everything else, but it needs to be everybody across the board saying no. And especially if you are vaccinated, you should be supporting this as well, because just because you're for this doesn't mean that the next thing that they put out, you'll be for. This is not their business.
All right. You know, and we have friends who are nurses, and nurses are starting to organize now too. They don't have a union behind them, but they're starting to organize and push back, saying exactly that, saying part of a nurse's job is to advocate for patients. Well, we're patients in this case, and we shouldn't have to get a vaccine if we don't want to, or if we do want to, we should be able to get it, and it's nobody's business. I mean, they try to pretend like this is like smallpox or something like that. It's not. It is a disease. Let's remind us of everything. It's not a disease. It's a virus that 99.9% of people are totally fine after they have it. This is not Ebola. This is not, you know, the Spanish flu. It's nothing like that.
Right.
And what can the police officers union do?
Do you hope?
Well, I'm hoping. I think that what they can do is they can back their members, and their members are saying that they don't want to say. I think basically they don't want to tell anybody. They want bodily autonomy like everyone else, and what they get done to them is what they get done. So I think that they can just support their members in that way.
You know,
are they willing to say we'll walk off the job if you try to impose it?
Well, yeah, I think so. Well, yeah. I'm not sure. I think that's each individual. I don't want to say that, but here's what I think is fun is that when they put this mandate out, they threw it out there, just
right.
Like, here it is. So the question is, or what?
Yes.
Or what?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
And that's why it can't be just, you know, two guys saying, you know, putting themselves out there. It has to be across the board.
Yes.
And the reality of it is that if they can put this through with city employees, they can put it through to just regular citizens as well,
right.
By
right.
saying, you know, that, well, like if you want to shop here, you have to be vaccinated. This is wrong. And so that's why everybody, it's not, you know, we'll wear the mask or we'll do this. No, the answer is, it's just, no, we're done. We're done.
Well, and you know what's ridiculous about it, particularly where the police are concerned, is really, frankly, every day, the city of Denver and the citizens of Denver ask the Denver police officers to put their lives on the line and go out and do their job. And that's okay, right? I mean, mm-hmm. I would imagine that the average police officer faces far more risk in a routine traffic stop of death than they do mm-hmm. of COVID, right? So it's like, that's
right.
Okay. You can all go do that. Oh, and by the way, if you mess up on your job or if somebody captures it on a cell phone video and we think it looks bad, we're going to criminally charge you now. We're not going to mm-hmm. back you in the decisions you're forced to make, but we are going to make you get a vaccine. I mean, to me, it's outrageous. And the other thing I think is a problem is if you're a police officer or any kind of city employee, this is a kind of thing. I mean, if you live in a Democrat-run city, pardon my language here, but you're screwed, right? Mm-hmm. If you live in Florida, where Ron DeSantis is in charge of things, well, then you're safe and you don't have all your rights violated. That doesn't seem fair either, really.
No, and we really don't have anybody that's standing up for us. And that's why it was ugly to watch Murphy Robinson say that he's doing this for basically saying that he's doing it for the collective. We're not a collective. We're individuals. And what, you know, the thing is that police and fire were asked to go out in this COVID time
right.
with inadequate PPE, with no understanding of what they were going into, no real instruction of how to treat this for a while. And they still went out and they did their jobs. We entrusted them with that. And so we can entrust them with their own health. And that's the same with all city workers. All city workers are fine to make their own decisions. And that's it.
Right.
That is it.
Right. Well, and you know, I remember a few years ago, there was like an Ebola scare in the country. And I remember doing stories with the paramedic unit from Denver Health. And they kind of, I don't mean to laugh because they were doing their best, but they were just like sort of like saran wrap all around the ambulance. And I'm like, is this effective? They're like, well, we don't know. I mean, it's like, so they were okay with that, right?
Yeah.
With a disease that is deadly for a majority of people who get it or very sick. And so, and now COVID, you know, like you say, and you've got the healthcare workers.
Is the union going to issue a statement on this in the next few days?
Well, I think they did issue their first statement. I know that Denver Fire's union is going to should be issuing a statement soon as well. But
what did the first statement say?
That they're basically not doing that, that they're letting their people make their own decisions.
Right. How much? Well, and that's like to set the stage for people. The Denver Police Protective Association, the police union, is pretty powerful politically in Denver. It's really the only that the firefighters are a little bit protected by, but mostly, they do bargaining. Most of the other city employees do not have that kind of protection. They're on their own and have a whole different kind of, I guess, disciplinary system as well. But this is not something, if you're the mayor of Denver, that you want to mess around with, really.
Well, he's term limited.
Well, yeah, that's the point. But you got to wonder what city council members, have any of them
been supportive?
No, I haven't heard a thing from city council at all. But also, you know, we don't have enough city employees, period. And that's the thing, is that basically city employees are just represented, we think, just police, sheriff, and fire. There's right. So many other people that this comes down on that they're going to mandate this vaccine, and that is not right. So that is why we picked Tuesday when they were going to meet with Murphy Robinson at the PPA building, because people know that. Like, we don't know how to get to, you know, the trash man and the parks people, stuff like that. But they're just as important, and we want them there. And we want city people there. People, even if you're not a Denver resident, anybody who this is important to, because, you know, when Denver goes one way, soon others will follow. We want everybody there. And it's just to show support for individual rights.
Yes.
It doesn't matter if you want to be vaccinations or not. It's individual rights.
And so now tell people, you're going to go ahead and do this anyway, even though they want it to be on Zoom or what? So tell people where to go and what the plan is and how they can help you.
Well, it's at the PPA building tomorrow at 11:30. And I have conveniently forgot the address. But
if you look at PPA, it's there kind of by, what's it?
It's on Decatur.
Right. It's kind of by Mile High Stadium or whatever they call Mile High Stadium these days. It's just a little bit north of that.
But we have a website or a email for people to email to get on a list of mass emails. I think it's going to be at safety_rights5280@yahoo.com.
Okay.
And well, that will try to hopefully help us get a little bit organized. So.
And I think you're right. What's happened here is just with the politics of it. And Chuck, you hit an important point. Hancock's term limited out. So Polis has just sort of tossed the ball to him. Polis is like saying, I don't want to deal with this. You cities go ahead. But we saw this with the lockdowns and the mask mandates. Denver went first and then everybody else kind of followed suit. And I think
they don't really intend to follow suit, but then they get their, you know, Tri-County Health and all these other ones, these unelected bodies mandating all of these requirements. So it's following along. It's really not following along. It's the public health dictatorship forcing things on people.
Well, and go ahead.
Well, and also the thing is that it's not enough anymore. We've been lied to a lot.
Yes.
So it's not enough anymore to say the science.
Right.
Trust me. You know what I mean? No.
No.
The point is now prove it. And that's also why the question is, what are you going to do? Because it is not right to force someone in to a trial vaccine and by threatening their livelihood and their job.
Yes.
But not even completely saying that, just inferring that.
Right.
It's not okay.
Well, and because, you know, that's what I hope. And the police union has, I think, the ability, if they choose to probably fight this on a legal front. Like you said, if I'm work in the library and, you know, in somewhere in Denver and, you know, I don't want to get the vaccine, well, what am I going to do? Right. I don't have anybody to, but the union can. They have lawyers. They know how to fight these kind of battles. They fought them before. And
but you are going to go to judges appointed by Polis and other Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
You're not using the individual liberty judge because they don't exist in the state system.
But at least maybe you could put them off. Right. I mean, hopefully you can put it off until, you know.
Well, you might find one honest judge.
Right.
You know.
Right.
Right. But also the thing that I think a lot of people forget is that our government is by the consent of the governed.
Oh.
And we're the governed.
We don't feel like the
No, but you're right. We're going to play a Rand Paul soundbite where he's saying people have to stand up and say no. I mean, just think of it. With the Denver police, if the Denver police walked to Hancock, even his security detail said, hey, by the way, I'm not telling you whether I'm vaccinated or not.
Right.
But if you say I can't work tomorrow, then I guess we won't be here tomorrow. And you explain to the citizens of Denver what's going on. You explain why when you call 911, no one's answering. I mean,
there is that. But also the thing to remember, I think, or what I think might happen next is that if the police and fire and the city workers say no, then I think that they will push it further down the line and they'll try to do a lockdown or something again. And then that is when business owners need to step up also and say, no, we're done. And my other thing was that when we had the lockdowns, the restaurant owners tried to do like the
five-star.
It's enough. Like, no, we're not going to do your five-star thing. We're not. It's just we're going to do business. We have to get brave. I mean, come on now.
Right.
It's enough. We've been lied to. We've been locked down. We've lost jobs. Our kids are killing themselves. We're telling people to wear masks. When police and fire and the paramedics, they're in the health field, they know that those masks don't work that way, and they've still played along. The time has come to be completely finished, and we have to support each other.
Right,
so,
right. Well, and particularly, you know, Leo is texting or putting over here, you know, the plus he says, the 6-month study was just published. No death prevention showed. I mean, and the studies themselves are a joke. We can totally be talking about that on Friday with Michael Tao. I mean, every day it seems to me that there are more questions being raised. And I don't know what all the answers are in terms of the adverse reactions.
The one
and things
thing
like
you
that.
Know is that the CDC and Dr. Fauci don't know either.
Right.
And they can just pontificate, change their mind every 5 minutes and then give a new decree. And we're all supposed to back it because it's quote unquote public safety. Well, we've had it. We know it's not public safety. It is just a dictatorial effort by people who've gotten used to being able to push everyone around.
And they like it. And that's the thing. And, you know, it's good to keep in mind that Dr. Fauci has never treated a COVID patient ever.
Yeah. You know, just a few more questions for you in terms
of probably kill them.
Yeah, really. How strong, I mean, that those survey results to me were interesting. I thought, so after a year and a half of this, these are officers who are in the field every day.
Mm-hmm.
And 57% of them are like, I feel the vaccine is more dangerous to me potentially than the disease. That's a pretty interesting thing. And again, and 72%, and again, who knows when, if push comes to shove, but at least 72% were saying, if you make this a condition of employment, then goodbye. That's pretty strong. Do you think the city expected that and did the union? And I mean, I don't get the sense that they're going to back down on this. Do you?
I hope not. I mean, we've had a lot of people who are very happy that people are fighting. So they're coming together. So we'll see. I don't think they're going to. The thing with police and fire and sheriffs is that they take on a lot of stress outside of their job period. Like they'll carry the ramifications of their jobs far beyond the years that they work for the city. So that is a huge problem. And like suicide, cancer, things like that, those are killers of police and fire later down the road. So there are so many of them that know that even though they're going to leave their job whenever, they're still going to have some kind of physical ramifications later down the road. And I don't think any of them are willing to take another one.
Ah, perfect.
And I mean, or their wives and spouses do not, and I don't speak for police or fire or anybody like that, but I don't think that their wives are ready to put up with that either. You know, just because you've signed on to be a police, sheriff, or fireman for the city does not mean that you become like a ward of the state and you have to give 100% of everything. These are men and women that we love, and their fathers, their daughters, their mothers, and we're not willing to go any further with it.
That's
no,
great.
Good for you. Totally. Okay, so tomorrow, what time again?
It's going to be, I guess we're going to do 11. It'll be 11. And it's at the PPA building. And it's not, like I said, not pro-vaccine, not anti-vaccine. Just pro your own decisions. That's it.
Thank you, Dan.
Very much. You've been wonderful. Thank Keep you. Us in the loop, okay? Appreciate it.
Yeah, you guys have a great day. Thanks.
Thanks. Bye-bye. All right, Dan. Well, you know, there's so much. And now we've got, from Leo, the only thing proven that it's easier to get a tea time when Chuck is doing a podcast. That's also true, Leo.
That's a valid point by Leo. A little snarky.
You know, but I think what she's saying, and we were talking about this, we have, as I said, some nurse friends, and they're organizing. Now, we'll see. The news media was all over, Chuck, when the nurses were standing in masks, saying, everybody has to do the lockdown. We'll see if they cover it when real nurses are protesting having to get a vaccine, because they've got rallies planned around Colorado too. Right. But I think that becomes the final thing. And if we could, Thomas, Rand Paul sort of had an official statement that he put out over the weekend saying, just say no. So Thomas, if we could play the Rand Paul soundbite, please.
Resist. They can't arrest all of us. They can't keep all of your kids home from school. They can't keep every government building closed, although I've got a long list of ones they might keep closed or might ought to keep closed. We don't have to accept the mandates, lockdowns, and harmful policies of the petty tyrants and bureaucrats. We can simply say no, not again. Nancy Pelosi, you will not arrest or stop me or anyone on my staff from doing our jobs. We have either had COVID, had the vaccine, or been offered the vaccine. We will make our own health choices. We will not show you a passport. We will not wear a mask. We will not be forced into random screenings and testings so you can continue your drunk with power reign over the Capitol. President Biden, we will not accept your agency's mandates or your reported moves towards a lockdown. No one should follow the CDC's anti-science mask mandates. And if you want to shut down federal agencies again, some of which aren't even back to work yet, I will stop every bill coming through the Senate with an amendment to cut their funding if they don't come back to work in person. Local bureaucrats and union bosses, we will not allow you to do more harm to our children again this year. Children are not at any more risk from COVID than they are from the seasonal flu. Every adult who works in schools has either had the vaccine or had their chance to get vaccinated. There is no reason for mask mandates, part-time schools, or any lockdown measures. Children are falling behind in school and are being harmed physically and psychologically by the tactics that you have used to keep them from the classroom during the last year. We won't allow it again. If a school system attempts to keep children from full-time in-person school, I will hold up every bill with two amendments, one to defund them, and another to allow parents the choice of where the money goes for their child's education. Do I sound fed up to you? That's because I am. I'm not a career politician. I practiced medicine for 33 years. I graduated from Duke Medical School. I've worked in emergency rooms. I've studied immunology and virology. And I ultimately chose to become an eye surgeon. I've been telling everyone for a year now that Dr. Fauci and other public health bureaucrats were not following the science, and I've been proven right time and time again.
You know, what I like about that is he wasn't ranting and raving, right? He was just saying, look, we're not going to do it. And if you do, was it particularly like, I'm going to stick amendments on this and I'm going to fight back. I mean, we heard Marjorie Taylor Greene talking about how you can use the procedures themselves to sort of fight some of these tyrants.
Yeah. Well, we should go to that now. Okay. A minute or two. We were down Friday evening down at the Elegante Hotel and Conference Center, which really is a very nice place, for the El Paso County Lincoln Day Dinner. That's normally the biggest Lincoln Day dinner in the state. Lots of money is raised. It usually is filled with all the luminaries, certainly from El Paso County and the elected officials, but really all over the state. And they've had everyone from our beloved Mitt Romney to Karl Rove to many others. So this year they invited Marjorie Taylor Greene. Well, the reaction was very interesting. The leadership of the Republican Party and KBB said that she wasn't going to go because she had a commitment. Then she apparently gave a dicta out to staff saying, you can't go.
Because you're all busy too, by the way.
You're all busy too, except Marilyn Harris, the secretary, the brave one in leadership, said, no, I'm going, and she did. All of the effort by the establishment in El Paso County, which includes the Dutmers and the all the other ones, the Larry Listons, the Bob Gardners, the Doug Lamborns, the Brimmers,
Doug Lamborn.
They all boycotted it, figuring, well, we'll break them. They won't be able to raise any money. And that dinner is usually how counties have most of their money, their budget for the year. Well, instead of breaking it, they made it the most popular event ever.
It was packed.
Oh, man, it was
hundreds of people. I mean, they couldn't.
And we were getting people say, hey, can you get me a
ticket? In the lobby, people were saying, could we get them in? You know, and here's what I would say to all of those cowards. You are running from this myth put out by the fake news media, right? I got to admit, I wasn't sure what to expect with Marjorie Taylor Greene, but I'm going to tell you what. She was articulate, extremely bright, funny, witty, warm.
Tough mother.
I mean, she was a great speaker. She didn't say anything kooky. She didn't say anything nutty. What she did tell you is what's going on and how some of the inside stuff works in Washington, D.C., and how she is working with Mark Meadows and some other members of the Freedom Caucus to put a stop to it and to hold people accountable. You know, I'm going to mention again, and stuff like Doug Lamborn won't tell us how he voted on the Liz Cheney issue, whether to oust her or not. Because it's private.
You're a public official. Your vote's supposed to be public.
Everybody
in private.
Right. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that's going on there all the time, and they cover for each other, and she's not. And that's why they don't like her. And what she kept saying over and over again, and this is where every Republican leadership person and, you know, us, we all need to, pardon my language here, but grow up here, because she just said, I don't care. I don't care if the New York Times writes something snippy about me.
Says I'm anti-Semitic, which there's no basis for. I'm a racist. And the chairman for the Republican Party in El Paso County,
Vicki Tompkins, is
just
amazing.
A hero. She's an African-American woman. And of course, they all trash her because she's an African-American woman who thinks for herself. But she said, do you think if Marjorie Taylor Greene was a bigot and anti-Semite, I'd want her as my key speaker? She said, it's all garbage. It is all garbage. You could tell from the moment it was. But Christy Burton Brown and all the establishment ones. I didn't see John Caldera there from the Independence Institute. I didn't see.
Well, and here's the thing. They all know. If you were to ask them, they all know that Marjorie Taylor Greene did not really say that climate change is caused by alien spaceships or whatever it is they say. She said everybody knows that, but they just make it up and then wimpy, scared, weak-kneed Republicans who really actually don't want to work for you. They just want to work for the swamp. And I think that article called them swinos. They jump on and say, well, she's too controversial. I got to talk about, she didn't say a single thing that I don't think anyone listening to this, or frankly, anyone in the United States wouldn't say, well, that makes sense. When she's talking about...
Well, they'll take a line out of there and say, oh, you see, she said... She mentioned a monkey, I think, there about something. Therefore, it must be a racist statement. I mean, it's just so pathetic. But I can't tell you, it was so much fun being there with patriotic. There were no rhino swinos, no swinos there. And I didn't see Heidi Canall there. Greg Lopez did want to come, and his wife came.
He had a spokesperson come. He had a family, tragedy.
Well, his nephew was murdered.
Right.
And so I don't know.
Dave Williams would have been there, but he was out of town. So there are people with legit excuses. This from Sandra, and Neil should have been the chairman for the GOP. Mm. That's true. Hey, and I don't know if he wants to come on or not, but our friend Ben Nicholas, Fighting Ben Nicholas, was there as well. And we talked to you on Friday on your way down. Hey Ben, and I know I'm kind of throwing you under the bus here by picking on you or just by calling on you, but there we go. So what do you think? I mean, what was your take on the event?
Oh, I thought it was great. You know, as you know, I was seated across the room from you guys, and I couldn't figure out why I wasn't sitting at the same table with you as the others were in our team. And I later found out that they said that they didn't recognize me as a firebrand or a bomb thrower. So,
which is what we've been called by the Swinos.
Yeah, so
you're just the getaway driver.
Yes, I'm the getaway driver, so I sit with all the other drivers. I was far enough away that any damage that would have been done by you guys, I wouldn't have been caught in it. But yeah, I thought it was great. You know, I mean, we all decided to go down there and support Vicky because of this issue. And I was very, very happy to hear Marjorie Taylor Greene and her speech. It was really eye-opening when she talked about how she sat there, and there was a $700,000 spending bill that came across when she was on the floor, when she was trying, after she had been removed from her committee assignments by, I believe it was 11 Republicans who voted
right.
to remove her. And then she told us how she was... surprised to find out that really there were only at that time, there were only maybe 10 Republicans and 10 Democrats on the floor. And it was passing by voice votes. That's when she said that Mark Meadows jumped back into her brain and said that she needed to call for a roll call vote. So she started that calling right. roll call votes. And that upset them all because they actually had to come down and do their job.
And be on the record doing their job.
And be on the record.
Because it's a private vote.
Right.
And so Lamborn didn't want it, you know, his vote exposed as to how he voted for Liz Cheney. So I just thought this is the right thing to do. If you're a grassroots
you can really
person,
tell from the people who are there. I mean, Randy Corcoran was there.
Yeah. Tom Tancredo
was there. Sue Moore was there. I mean, you really had, if you kind of go, okay, which ones are really the grassroots and which ones are the establishment? Well, you either showed up or you didn't. And you could say, I tried to buy a ticket and I couldn't get in.
That's just what they should say.
That's what they should say.
Well, as our movement, you know, as progressing, you can tell that we are gaining momentum throughout the state here because more and more grassroots people are standing up and refusing to go along with the establishment Republican side of our party. So I think that all in all, it was great. It was great to see. It was standing room only.
Yeah.
So,
You tried to, I forget who it was. He told me, you know, I don't weigh much. You know, I'm not very big. And I couldn't get between all the people, you know, just to get back to our own table. It was, everybody was just packed in there.
I was so happy to see that our state secretary, our state party secretary, Marilyn Harris, was there. Yeah. She is a fighter. I am so proud of her, but I don't know what is going on with, Priscilla, our vice chair.
I'll give Priscilla a pass, and I like her a lot. And she was under enormous pressure, I assume, from Christy Burton Brown. And
she's elected a separately elected official.
You also know her total duties are two sentences. You'll do whatever the chair wants you to do.
You know what I hope,
and that makes it tough, but I'm encouraging her to kind of break away from that because I just don't think after today, because we'll talk about this a little bit later, but this commitment to Colorado is nothing for what I'd hoped it would be. And it is everything I feared it would be.
Yeah. Support the environment, right? That's it sounds like the new Green New Deal from what I read on it. Where's the stand for the Second Amendment and the First Amendment, the 14th? All of these issues, it's vacant. It's just a vacuous document.
Well, and we need to stand up, and then Ben, we'll let you go. Thank you.
I guess I created enough trouble. That'll warn you not to do that to me. All right. Bye-bye.
I'm glad it went so well. This is from Mark. This is the beginning of something great. Chuck, Ben, and all that went awesome. Chuck and Ben, thanks for going around the state and making it happen. And I don't know if we have Peg Cage. Peg, if you're on... she was going to give us sort of a report in this 10 commitments. So if you're okay, perfect.
There she is.
If you're not aware, so today, And I'm going to give my opinion first because I'm the one talking, and then
check. Oh, well, there you go, because that's always the case.
Well, there's that. Minor detail. So Christy Burton Brown, the chairperson of the Colorado Republican Party, held a news conference today at a Sinclair station to outline what she called the 10 commitments, Republicans' 10 commitments to Colorado. And I guess on the one hand, I'm glad that she's at least doing it, right? I mean, that seems to be considerably more than Ken Buck ever did. But I agree with you. When you read through them, they're very, I mean, a Democrat could have written them. But I want to give her this credit, and this is what we need to see more of, not some bland, oh, we support the environment, blah, blah, blah. So Kyle Clark, the Channel 9 anchor, was being snarky about this Republican news conference.
No, Carl wouldn't be snarky.
And he said, this is what he tweeted. He said, I'm not a PR professional, but I would advise against holding a news conference at a gas station with a dinosaur mascot the same day as a major climate change report is released by the United Nations. And following a weekend of atrocious air quality in Colorado.
Yeah.
What a lame thing. But this is what Christy Burton Brown, she snapped right back at him and she says, clearly, Kyle Clark, you don't care about the average working family in Colorado who's paying $1.50 more for gas since November. We do. And remind us again, who's in charge in Denver and Colorado with the worst air quality in the world? Oh, yeah, the Democrats. Okay, now that's great. Christy Burton Brown, that's what we need to see more of. So now we can let Peg talk. Peg was at the news conference. Peg Cage with the Republican, Ted Coffey again, the Republican Party in Boulder County. Peg, your take on the whole thing.
I'm really glad they're doing it. I was, I'm trying to be nice. The first 3 points are what they bragged about. All the unaffiliateds are very concerned about these points. And the first 2 questions had to do with our issues, the election integrity and the opt-out. And Christy said that point number 8, which is bring accountability and transparency back to government, and the talking points are, we will restore transparency, character, and common sense to public office. She said that's election integrity is covered under that.
Well, I know.
Well, here's another one. Honor taxpayer bill of rights in Proposition 117. The taxpayer bill of rights requires that all taxes be approved by Colorado voters. 117 limits just calling things fees instead of ones, but it doesn't do a very good job. And so this last time, we had a massive fee increase of tens and 50 millions of dollars. And it got around 117 and by saying, we'll divide it up into 5 different votes. Well, you had all these Republicans voting for that.
Right.
You had Southers saying he absolutely supported that bill. So you come to 7, they kind of go, well, what do you mean that's what you do? You don't do it when the day comes for you to vote, you don't vote that way.
That's right.
And here, let me, this is, you know, I wanted to look back at the Contract America, you know, which was.
I did too.
Yeah. Great money.
Well, the first thing it said, okay, the first day we get in office, we'll make 8 changes to the way the House of Representatives is run, including require all laws that apply to the country also apply to Congress, which is they're always exempting themselves out.
Right.
Select a independent auditing firm for audit of Congress, cut the number of House committees, term limits for committee chairs, no casting proxy votes in committees, require committee votes to be open to the public, all those things. Those are very specific, and those are exactly how it was run, and they did exactly. They did all 8 of them, and they got them all accomplished. The second part.
And they followed them up by a bunch of laws that they would pass.
You're right. You're absolutely right. There are 10 other laws. They said, okay, there are 10 other laws that we will adopt within 100 days.
Right.
Which was things like a child care credit tax of $500, a prevent U.S. troops from serving United Nations command unless the president term necessary for national security, common sense legal for reforms. They passed all these bills. Now, some of them, or a lot of them, got squashed by the Senate. But they had we will do this. It wasn't just personal responsibility. We believe in...
We'll make Colorado affordable, promote public safety.
That's my problem. It's a problem.
Well, how was it received there? Because I know there was news media there, but there were a lot of Republican people wandering around there too. How was it received, do you think?
It was an interesting thing because there were a lot of establishment and we were there. I'm not establishment. I don't fit in very well there. But Kim Munson and some other people who are not establishment were there. And while we want to support our chairman and this is a good idea, you know, some steps forward, just like Chuck said, though, what are you building on? You haven't shown us any of this. As you were at the meeting earlier this morning where Karen Cataline spoke, and she said, this is something that should have been addressed. You were talking about all of the mandates and everything that came along with COVID. She said this is something that she tried to address early on. And I put her articles on my website quoted the Weld County Sheriff, the Weld County Attorney, who said early on that there is no legal mandate here. This is not a legal mandate. I will not enforce this. I will not give people a exemption because you don't need an exemption. This is not a real law.
But you know, all those things, none of them are addressed in this.
Yeah. They took
it's just kind of like you want affordable housing, sure.
Sure, and there's not that, and the Republicans caved on everything. They never stood up and said, wait a minute, it's really bad for our businesses to shut them down. It's really bad for downtown Denver to
allow
people.
There's nothing about taking the emergency powers away from the governors.
They
made no commitments to take any action other than vague bromides.
There's nothing about election integrity. They say that the candidates love this. Well, why would the candidates love this? There's no promise that they would ever get elected until we fix the elections and make it so it's not Democrat run.
I must say this is far worse. Now, you know, I already had a warning that it was going to be a problem, but it is far worse than I thought. It is just bromides. If tomorrow the governorship, the House, and the Senate were all became Republicans, there's nothing that they would have to do because of this quote-unquote commitment to Colorado.
And I think they could have done a lot of things better. And again, Republican establishment people need to realize we cannot keep being, not we, they cannot keep being afraid of the media that no one pays any attention to anyway. Anyone. I mean, no one even reads the Denver Post. So who cares? This was the only article I saw this being covered in was behind a paywall in Colorado Politics, who, you know, of course, is going to attack you anyway. So
they're not going to attack this.
Well, they won't do this. But in other words, when you talk about make Colorado affordable, why don't you turn around and go ahead and say something like, and let's get rid of the oil and gas restrictions Governor Polis has imposed on us. That's we spent $500 million on the homeless. Maybe that's, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And again, one of the other things, protect the rights of the individual. For instance, you don't have to wear a mask and you don't have to get vaccinated. I mean, stuff like that, if they my free advice to them, which of course they won't take, but if they want to do it, delineate between us and them, say, well, you know, we're going to prioritize public safety. Well, Governor Polis lets people trash the Capitol and, you know, puts fences up to keep you out, but could care less about.
Well, what does that mean? I will prioritize police safety or
public
safety. It means nothing.
Well, who doesn't?
It doesn't require a passage of anything, or it's just. This is all poll tested, and God, of course people approve these because you can't not approve them. I mean, you can't say.
What do you object to?
No, I want not affordability of houses. I think the middle class ought to be pushed out of the market and be put on the streets. I mean, oh wow, the unaffiliates really like these. Well, yes. Anybody likes them. Anybody.
Yeah.
Well, so what do you, where do we go from here, Peg? I mean, you just solve everything?
I can. Yes. I've been working with Chuck and Anil and our band, the other guy, and some others to just go around the state and tell people, you know, it's time for us to get out from under the established Republicans. As long as we let them run the party and decide about things like this contract with Colorado, we're going to keep losing because we have nothing to bring to the table. The unaffiliated groups grow and get more and more infiltrated into our party. And we're nothing. We are absolutely nothing. Whereas we have this wonderful platform, we have our wonderful bylaws that start that it's our job as the Republican Party to recognize the principles of the party, which is basically our Constitution and the national platform, which was made in 2016. It's the most conservative platform the Republicans have ever had, and the Democrats have gone absolutely the other way. So there's a definite difference between the party platforms. Right. If we were standing on our platform and offering this difference to the voters, I think that we would have a lot more participation and we would be able to get things done that are nice for the state without, you know, bringing these platitudes and they're nothing.
Well, but, let's read you number 9, build strong communities. We will create opportunities for families seeking upward mobility, will combat child poverty, and will support parents who want to pass their values on to their children. We believe that regardless of where one starts in life, we can foster opportunities for them to build a better future.
I mean, even the communists would support that. If you were like a communist, you would say, well, I agree with that.
Yeah.
I agree with that. Well, if we are doing this as individual voters for the state central committee, and we say, okay, this has been enough, this test trial of having these open primaries run by the state, if we just say, we can figure out a better way to do this where it's only Republicans choosing our candidates and we're only putting forth Republican candidates who actually believe this stuff, and we aren't trying to placate the unaffiliated. We're not trying to placate anyone. We're trying to do for God and country and our Constitution. And that's what our party is all about.
If And
this Marjorie Taylor Greene thing, this woman is doing exactly what the Republican Party is supposed to do. She's holding them accountable in Congress.
Yes,
that's the kind of... finish up. This is a crescendo to this thing, and that really, you know, gets you just dying to go out and knock on doors and everything else. Protect the rights of the individual. We believe the people and their individual rights, citizens make the best choices for their community, their children, and their American dream.
Well, there you go. Well, yeah, that's what you should have said. And by that, what we mean is we will oppose mask mandates. We will oppose unelected bureaucrats telling us whether we can or cannot have our kids go to school. I mean, so I agree. It's good that she did this.
Well, no, it's not good anymore. Well, I thought it was a great idea to emulate what Newt Gingrich did 30 years ago. To come out with very specific ones people could, you know, that not everybody agreed with, but they knew where you stood. Instead, they said, oh, we'll just give them bromides and they'll be so happy. Those unaffiliates go, oh my God.
Oh, we're going to vote for Democrats.
We're going to restore transparency, character, and common sense to public.
I might as well do that then. All right. Well, Peg, any final thoughts then on, because I'd like to get maybe a quick thought from you on the Marjorie Taylor Greene event, because you were there as well.
Oh, yes. And she was wonderful. She was absolutely the strong mom. And I just loved her that she would go up there and she would say, I have nothing to lose. I was elected to do this. And she would call for those, the recorded votes. That's exactly what we need to do at the state convention. We need to call for a roll call vote.
Yes,
when we have this opt-out thing, we call for a roll call vote. Yes, we say, okay, who's going to stand up for the party values and keeping the party intact?
Well, it's interesting that John, you know, I understand that Sue got up and others got up and yourself and talked about opting out, and John Caldera just decided he'd just be quiet. did not say, no, I disagree with all of that.
He figured, have a discussion, but he did say that Sue Moore could write an article and put it kind of a point counterpoint with his article saying that unaffiliateds need to be able to vote in the Republican primaries.
Well, it's going to be ditched on the bottom of page
no,
two.
No, he's going to put it in complete Colorado. John will
do
a fair job.
Colorado?
I think they'll do it. I predict that John Caldera will do a fair job. I don't have any reason to doubt him on that.
Well, I do.
All right. Well, you know.
No, I don't like John, but it's like all the... It's like all the establishment ones. Sure, you can write something.
Well,
but, you know,
and party wants clicks too, which is good. So, thank you for your time and for all the work that you're doing.
You're doing a great job.
Thanks, Julie. Thank
you. All right, thank you. Everybody on the sides there is chatting, saying they love you, by the way.
Thank you.
One final thing too, because we got only just a couple minutes. The Dinger thing, I'm assuming everybody heard about that, where immediately everybody jumps on. It's like the noose at the race car thing when it was just a loop on the...
Including the Rockies. They threw their fans under the bus without even listening to whatever the guy was saying. He's trying to get a hold of the mascot.
He said
Dinger. I mean, that's so pathetic from the right. We can't blame our racist fans. We're going to throw them all out. And
the fans had to stand up for themselves, all these tweets. So last night during a Rockies game, Dinger, which I think they should get rid of Dinger personally anyway, but it's a purple dinosaur, and his name is Dinger, and he's a mascot, and he was kind of standing behind home plate, and people were shouting because they wanted to get a picture with him for their kids and stuff, and they're shouting Dinger, Dinger. Well, one guy shouts particularly loud, and you can hear him in the broadcast, I think particularly the broadcast going out for Florida, the Florida Marlins, and immediately the announcer goes, we apologize for that racial slur, and immediately everyone starts attacking the Rockies fans, including the Rockies, but then the Rockies fans started tweeting back, you morons are saying Dinger, Dinger, and if you listen, they said, just listen, and if you do, you can hear very clearly it's Dinger. They're saying Dinger, the mascot. So they've been forced to kind of be like, oh, never mind.
They don't say, oh, well, we've been, no, the Rockies just go, okay.
Well, no, the Rockies put out a defense, but
a defense what to themselves or how about their goddamn fans? Right. Sell out.
And you're still seeing racial slurs at the Rockies game, but hey, at least. President Obama had a great birthday.
Thank God. And he really scaled it down to his favorite 1,000 friends and workers. And they all didn't wear masks. They're all dancing away. They're all happy. And you're just such a schmuck if you think those people give a dinger about you.
That's right. Hey, that'll wrap it up for us. Thank you to Deanne. Thank you to Peg and Ben. Thank you to everybody listening on Zoom, our great guys there at BBS Radio. Remember, you can catch all of the shows live or listen, and we would love to have you subscribe to us and donate. We appreciate all the folks who have supported us so far. We couldn't do it without you. So just go to chuckandjulie.com, and we'll see you Wednesday.
Well, Wednesday it'll be hump day. We'll have a great show for you, and have a wonderful summer's day.